Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 20th of April, recording at 7:36 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, now, the first thing I should mention are those two charts that I posted, the chart for the euro dollar, and also the chart for the U.S. Treasury bond futures. That was the June contract. Now, I've said that I felt that these are the most influential charts really in the world in the short term, or the most influential markets, I should say, in the short term. Now, let's take euro dollar first, and this is essentially the dollar's story in here, not the euros, but the dollar remains in a rally. And as you know, just around that time, a couple of months ago, 2-3 months ago, when everybody was convinced that the dollar was heading for some sort of additional downward spiral in addition to what it had already seen, that was obviously people talking in their own book, that we've seen a bear squeeze in here, initially induced by the European Central Bank through jawboning policies. And we continue right up to this moment. Well, we've had the euro just ranging downwards against the US dollar, the US dollar, in other words, ranging upwards against other currencies, and sometimes moving up a little bit more quickly than sideways ranging with small upward steps. But let's take that euro dollar chart. Now, you will have noticed that a rally of the last 3 days was pretty much your trace today. It's at 119.14 as I speak, down 108. And definitely the bigger days remain on the downside for the euro against the US dollar. And against that background, I maintain that there's still no evidence that we've seen the euro bottom. Now, what sort of evidence would I require? Well, it would be a clear upward dynamic. Now, if that came out of the blue, it would be very difficult to anticipate from today's action. Today's action suggests to me that we're going to get a continuation of this drift. On the other hand, if the drift were to turn into more of a rout, and if we saw the euro accelerating downwards, then that would make it a little bit easier to anticipate the timing of that eventual upward dynamic, which I expect will check the euro's slide and check the dollar's rally. But in the meantime, the important point is it looks like that the dollar is going to rally further, and this is mainly on a squeeze of those dollar short positions. Now, this is very important because of the knock-on implications for markets. I read it as basically bearish for U.S. Treasury bonds, and because there's certainly less urgency for the Japanese and the Chinese to buy those bonds, I think it's not such a good thing for Wall Street, although analysts are unlikely to focus on this connection here in the short term. But a lot of those big U.S. multinational companies have seen their earnings boosted quite substantially by the dollar's decline, because they earn money overseas, and that then gets consolidated in a weak dollar. In other words, their overseas euros and yen and so on were worth more once they were or converted into more U.S. dollars, and thus boosting operating earnings. So every little tick upwards by the U.S. dollar is chipping away a little bit at those operating profits for those U.S. companies. So that's not so hot for Wall Street. But again, I emphasize that I think analysts are unlikely to become seriously concerned about this in the short term. They'll be looking at other factors such as interest rates, which I'll get on to in a moment. One of the main areas affected by the rallying dollar will, of course, be in the commodity markets, where industrial commodities in particular have been very, very strong over the last couple of years. And we're now still in the throes of a correction in that particular area. So while it looks like The dollar is still rallying, and that's very much the case today. However, gradually, I'm going to be extremely cautious in terms of my supply and elasticity play. Now, supply and elasticity remains my investment theme of the year. We've had an awfully good run in some of those commodity markets, particularly metals, with last year and earlier this year, but I have no positions there, as you know. I know Owen mentioned the palladium yesterday getting a good rally, most of which was given up in here today, incidentally. But I've been pleased to see palladium push back up. Well, today it got up to a high of 326. That's half a dollar above where I got out last week, and it's done that on at least three occasions since I sold that position. So it just means that anybody who's been either trying to exit the market, as I did, has had opportunities to do so at quite reasonable prices, given the move upwards that palladium has seen over the last number of months. And also that those who have chosen to ride it out, and there are very good reasons for a number of people to do that. I'm very bullish of palladium, just not in the very short term, during this consolidation phase, that they're not seeing any kind of dramatic profit erosion. But again, I mentioned that the strength in the dollar does create a strong headwind here for a number of these commodity markets. And that's particularly where we had seen some very sharp gains previously. And if I look at some of these markets in here today, for instance, silver closed down 26.5 cents, 6.96, and I mean, gold down 3.30 at 397.75. Most of the metals were on the downside. The palladium, which I just mentioned, closed at 316.35. Platinum also that had been down 19, nearly $20 in here today. Copper's fallen back. So really, this is a script that suits me, being out of those positions, having lots of liquidity. I'd be delighted to see the dollar rally to about to the, say, the 115 level or even overshoot. Beg your pardon, have the yes, I've got it right. Have the euro decline down to the 115 level against the US dollar, perhaps even a little further on an overshoot, because more likely than not, that would pull some of these commodity markets lower. Others that I had been interested in until very recently when I got stopped out, for instance, the soybeans market, that's coming back as well down to 9.52 and three quarters in here today. Okay, but let me get on to my other main subject here, and those US Treasury bonds. Now, you know my view that a bear market began in US Treasuries, and more importantly, that a secular bull market ended. They were obviously going to coincide, those turning points. And back in June of 2003, and then we had that sharp fall into August. I think in some of the previous audios I'd said September, but it was down into low in August. And then that ranging recovery up until last month. That's the I described as the top extension phase. We're still in the top extension phase, although it's very late stage of that move overall. And this is a hugely important market in here. And the concern, of course, is rising inflationary pressures. The Fed is behind the curve in terms of interest rates, or those who aren't even worried about the rising inflationary pressures say that the US economy is ticking along strong enough now and it's creating jobs, that therefore the Fed has got to move towards some sort of more neutral interest rate policy. And of course, people have been nervously waiting for Greenspan to speak, and he is doing so in here today and also tomorrow. I think he's speaking before the Senate Banking Committee, and everybody's expecting him to say something about rates, probably very mild. It's been very much a gradualist process, and people expect more of the same. But the no-brainer in here is that interest rates are going up at some point, and sentiment has waxed and waned as to whether that point was going to be sooner or later. Well, what about the implications for other markets? And I've said really that if we get, well, I've said it's the as the bond futures started to come off in the middle of last month, that the initial reaction by stock markets would be favorable. And I believe that it has been. But as that decline in the bond futures continued, let alone it were it to break or when it breaks, because it's not a question of will it, but when it breaks underneath the August lows, in other words, when the bond yields, and you can see a chart, a point of view chart of the yields, which I put up on the website today, when that breaks above the highs that we saw around last August, that sentiment in stock markets is quite likely going to deteriorate if it hasn't already deteriorated prior to that point, because concern over rising interest rates and the potential for a slowdown in the growth rate and higher borrowing costs and so on will have a knock-on effect throughout the economy and also the stock market. So you want to watch that chart very, very carefully, obviously. Now, also, those rising bond yields are not going to be favorable for commodity markets because now the short-term interest rates are going to be the key, but it is bullish for commodities to have these very low short-term interest rates. Now, I don't think interest rates are going to move up enough to cause a serious problem for commodity markets, but certainly the Fed's first rate hike of the federal funds rate will be a negative for commodities, albeit a very small one. Okay, what have we had in here today? And I'm wrapping up here for several days, so having been away. And so we have basically more of the range trading that we've seen from stock markets, although that turned out to produce reasonably steady performances in the Asian markets. Thailand was firmer. The Thai positions that I have in that Aberdeen New Thai Fund looking really quite steady. That was firmer in here today. The South Korea was firmer. Japan had one of the better gains, at least as far as the Nikkei 225 was concerned, up 188 points. I've got a much reduced long position there. I reduced that just before going away last week by two-thirds. But if I'm going to have long position in any stock market futures that are where there are futures contracts for stock market indices, I'm happier to have it in the Nikkei than just about anything else. But this remains, needless to say, a choppy, difficult period. Peter Bennett asked me how I was playing these markets, and I said the same way I would try to walk over broken glass. In other words, very, very gingerly indeed. I've got very few speculative positions relative to what I often carry, or well, relative to what I would have had even a month ago. And I think it's much easier to lose money in this environment than it is to make money. And I am going to remain really quite cautious in here for a while longer. That doesn't mean that we need to panic out of everything, but I've gradually been reducing exposure, as you know. Positions that I still retain that I'm quite happy with, well, I just mentioned that Aberdeen New Thai, not cheap. I'm not tempted to add at these levels, but as you know, I added a few weeks ago when the price was lower. The J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust that I have, that's had a terrific performance recently, hit another new high today, up to 136p, up 375. The trouble is, though, that we've virtually lost the discount to net asset value. It's almost even, just a very, very small discount to net asset value. So obviously somebody's been piling into that fund, and India has been a popular story in the markets recently. And I had added to that position a few weeks and a few months ago. So I'm happy to continue holding that. The chart looks extremely good, and that's one of my core positions for the long term. But would I be buying it in here today? Absolutely, absolutely not. I've been trying to restrict myself to a policy of only purchasing on setbacks in this environment. In terms of precious metals, well, I'm right out this correction in the few gold shares that I actually have, because I don't think that there's a serious downside risk. But obviously, having talked about the dollar almost certainly rallying a little bit further, I wouldn't be at all surprised if gold isn't on the defensive for a while longer, and that can drag the gold shares a little bit lower. But as it does so, it pulls both bullion and the shares back into buying ranges, and I think that gold is not far off a buying range at this point, although it can easily go a little bit lower in here over the short term. Okay, now in European markets, stock markets steadier in here today, but that may fade, subject to what Greenspan says. And I noticed that Wall Street is definitely weakening in here right now, having been up most of the day. We're near the lows of the day as I speak, down 32 in the Dow, 6.5 in the S&P, and about 16.5 in the Nasdaq. I do have a Nasdaq short position, which I took out because first the Nasdaq was overbought, starting to get some downward dynamics. Did that, as you know, late last week, and I also wanted to hedge that long position, the remaining long position that I had in the Nikkei. I'm about unchanged on that position at today's levels. Bonds. I've still got the short position in the U.S. Treasury bonds, and that's sitting on quite an attractive gain. Now, remember, I started building that position early. And I knew it was early, said repeatedly that it was early, but I wanted to have a toe in the water to keep watching the market, and then I added to it a little bit during that big rally between August and March. That rally went further than I actually expected, but that's looking quite well, reasonable, very profitable from terms of the move down from March, and now showing a moderate profit overall. In terms of the JGBs, now I was stopped out of those. I thought I might be, but a little bit hard to tell with the differences between the UK trading period and the Japan trading period. But I was stopped out on the 16th. That was last week. I'd put in a very tight stop there. I was probably too cautious. As a result of that trade, I had a very small profit on the June rollover position, but then I doubled that up. Some of you may recall on the 15th of March, and I increased that. I came in again at 139.07. Now you may think, having been stopped out, I was stopped out at 155. I beg your pardon. What was that level? 137.55. Beg your pardon. 137.55. Now you might think, well, that's not very much, down from 139.07. But on a leveraged position, that's quite a reasonable profit. But more importantly, though, I feel my policy may have been too conservative there, and I'm far more worried. Well, I'd like to see another opportunity to add to that position, preferably on a rally, but I think the risk is that those JGBs continue to fall, and that I have to either sit it out or jump in on the way down. U.S. Treasuries, the only thing I would say in the short term is that they are a bit oversold, and a number of people are anticipating a change in stance, or further move towards a change in monetary policy stance by Alan Greenspan, and that after he speaks today and tomorrow, that there may well be a little bit of a short covering rally. I'll be watching this closely, but I'll be playing the bond markets, the government bond markets, on the short side, I expect, for quite some time, just trying to get the short-term timing right, using charts for that purpose, of course. Moving on swiftly here, I've already mentioned some of the currency action with the dollar firm in here again today, and I've already mentioned that these metal markets are mostly soft, but not exclusively so. Remember, the big theme here is the supply inelasticity, but they are in a medium-term correction at this stage. Oil a little bit firmer in here today. I'm making a small amount of money on my crude futures contract and losing a little bit on my natural gas long position. Lastly, on this I'd like to commend and thank Owen for having stepped into the hot seat in my absence. He is, of course, the editor of the Fuller Markets Forum and the Fuller Money Forum. And Owen had said to me, he said, speaking into a microphone while you're looking at a blank wall is harder than I actually thought. Well, tell me about it. I know all about that, of course. But it does help if I fantasize that I'm addressing an audience of mostly smiling, interested subscribers with only the occasional hint of bafflement or concern. Well, as I said, that's my fantasy. All the best to you.